Good morning. Wednesday morning, we are with our political observer, Alan Shartok. Alan, the eyes of America and perhaps the world turned toward Geneva today as President Biden expected to meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin. It's their first face-to-face meeting since he became president. The White House said in a statement that it seeks to restore predictability and stability to the U.S.-Russia relationship. Biden will also hold a solo news conference after the summit. I couldn't help but hear Stephen Sacker on the BBC this morning saying that no matter what anybody does, including NATO, President Vladimir Putin seems to have his own ideas of what he wants to do.
Well, look, Putin has lived through, I believe, five presidents, and he's a fairly young man. And he obviously is a dictator. Dictators have a wide range of potential action that they can go into. They don't have a Congress. They don't have anybody who's yelling at them to not do something. On the other hand, Russia is still a fairly small, although well-heeled country. And when I say well-heeled, I mean they've got a lot of nuclear power and the rest. Putin, of course, does not have the trappings of democracy around him, and as a result can pretty well do as he likes, and that puts him at some advantage, although I'm always betting on democracy being the better plan. And now Biden has done his preliminary work. He has gone to see his colleagues and his co-democratic leaders, small d that is, of course, and he has set the stage for going to talk to Putin. He's not going it alone. He obviously has a lot of advisors in the State Department, and there are those people who think that he should not have approached Putin about this meeting because apparently it is on his terms. So when you look at this, we have to assume that he is going and wants to be able to do business, as many presidents have with the Russians, the Soviets before them, and it'll continue that way. I'm thinking that despite the fact that some of my colleagues on the roundtable don't agree with me, that this is really a very smart and major move. The American people now know that their president wants a relationship with the Russians, but is going to be tough about it. And the word has already been put out that he is going to be tough. You have the former Russian KGB colonel who will put his usual spin on things. And then you have Biden who will say, we had discussions. Do I think that we're going to learn everything about those discussions? I do not. But I can tell you one thing. This guy Biden has been a lot more critical about this Russian dictator than his predecessor has. And we've still never really heard what went on when Trump and Putin were alone. So it looks like we're making some progress as a democracy. I think he's doing the right thing, and I think he's going to get a lot of credit for it.
Oh, and then there's that other dictatorship, China, right? I mean, the G7 and NATO both talking about the issue of China and how to manage that relationship.
China is, of course, a major power. Unlike the Russians, China is approaching, although not there, the kind of economy that this country has. And so there's a certain amount of economic warfare comparisons that are happening. China keeps expanding and expanding. It has a huge amount of money that is spent in that country and that they are exporting to other countries. So China becomes the number one enemy for both the United States and the Russians. So we're going to have to keep an eye on how they do together when it comes to how to handle China.
A momentous day in the United States as New York and California lift most of the COVID-19 virus restrictions. 70% of adults in California, New York have received a dose of the coronavirus vaccine. However, while the virus cases and deaths in the U.S. have fallen sharply, the coronavirus remains agonizingly present for those who knew its victims. And we see now that the U.S. has surpassed 600,000 deaths from the virus.
Yeah, that's terrible. It's a lot of people and a lot of misery for so many good people. And over 300 a day are dying from this virus. I want you to put it in perspective and think what would happen if 300 people were dying because their plane went down. It would be international headlines for days. But we are saying, well, we're over the hump now and governors are calling things off. But I think we have to be very careful about what we do and how we do it. We could have another surge. Do I think it's going to happen? Probably not. And yet, you have to be very careful where you go, what you do, there was a major story this morning in which it turns out those who had the virus are getting sick after they're allegedly cured. Not only them, but a lot of other people who never were supposed to have had the virus in the first place. So there's still a lot more about this virus that we don't know. And there are still a lot of questions as to where it came from and whether it got out of that lab or not.
From the New York Times, Cuomo's inner circle raised money for aide who was convicted of bribery. That's aide Joseph Percoco, the close friend of Governor Andrew Cuomo, who was convicted for soliciting and accepting more than $300,000 in bribes from executives with businesses before the state. The governor distanced himself at the time, calling the rule of law paramount, no tolerance for corruption. But privately, members of the governor's inner circle, including one of his sisters, have for years been raising money for Mr. Percoco, according to interviews and newly obtained emails. The sister, Madeline, made the point of saying that Governor Andrew Cuomo had no knowledge that she was doing this. It was done privately.
Preparar said when he announced these federal indictments of Percoco and friend that the governor was not being charged. That led a lot of people to say, how could it be that Cuomo didn't know anything about his two closest assistants? The point is that this is not good for Cuomo. Of all of the things that I have read, this one becomes extremely dangerous. You know, the idea that his people are raising money for somebody who Cuomo himself said there was no tolerance for wrongdoing is, I think, the most dangerous of the things that have happened to him in terms of accusations. And now that it's out, there will be an awful lot of people following up. A very dangerous moment for the governor.
Our political observer, Alan Shartok, with us.